You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
So the scripture for the foundation of last time we met was Psalms 37:5. Woo! Woo! It says, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. So when it says commit everything, it means all things. So everything you're doing should be something you can commit to the Lord and something that he can help you with. And so when you have these priorities and things that you need to accomplish throughout your school year, you're going to determine what you can do based on what the word says and with the Lord's help. Amen? Amen. So who, does anyone remember the assignment I gave when we met 2 weeks ago? Jessica. It was to put your priorities. Who did that? Did anyone in here determine some priorities? Christy, Nadezda, Bailey. So 3 out of 100 determine their priorities. So you guys, do you guys have goals for this year? Yes. Do you have things you want to accomplish?
Yes.
So are those things just going to happen? You have to do something to accomplish them, right?
Yes.
So the goal of that message last time we met for priorities was to let you identify what do you want to accomplish. If I want to accomplish saving 20% of my paycheck every pay period so that I can buy something in a year, the money's not just going to transfer from my checking to my savings account. It's not going to do it itself. And the money's not going to stay there unless I pull it back out. It will stay there unless I pull it back out. And so it requires me doing something to get a result. And so when I say write your priorities down, it's not because I want to give you homework. Believe it or not, your teachers don't just give you homework because they want to torture you. Contrary to popular belief. When I say write your priorities down, it's so that you can have something in front of you. It says in Habakkuk 2, write the vision and make it plain so you can run with it. So when you have something written down, it's in front of you. It's a goal. It's something you're focusing on. Because what you focus on is where you're going to end up. So if I'm focused on TV all the time, I'm going to end up lazy. If I focus on my boyfriend all the time, I won't have friends anymore. What you focus on is where your attention's going to land, and that's where your actions are going to land. And so when we talk about these priorities, it's so that you guys can say, where should my focus be this year? What does the Lord want me paying attention to the most? And so we had that huge list. Why would I want you? I gave you some examples here, but what are some other reasons that priorities are important? Wesley?
Because if you don't have a priority, if you try to do a goal, you can be distracted by other things.
So priorities keep you on track.
Yes, instead of just going, thinking, oh, maybe I'll do this, and not just think that, and then you'll be off trying to go on the straight road, and you'll end up somewhere completely different than where you're supposed to go.
Exactly. Priorities keep you on track. How you spend your time is going to determine what you accomplish and where you end up. So if I followed you for a day and just watched how you spent your time, I could determine where you're going to end up in the next week or the next month or the next year based on how you're spending your time. The other day, last night, my mom called and she said, how are you? I'm like, I'm so exhausted. I really can't talk right now. I'm really tired. So I got into bed. What did I do? I grabbed my cell phone. Where did I end up? I was on Facebook. And then Instagram, and then Twitter, and then I looked at the clock, and it was 12:38, and I just realized I wasted, I don't remember how much time, a lot of time, on my cell phone just looking up some random stuff because I was catching up for the day, and I thought to myself when I woke up, I'm really tired again. Well, because I spent this hour of sleep I could have had looking up what everyone else did for the day, which really doesn't impact my day much at all. And so it made me realize when we set these priorities in our life, it requires accountability. It requires sticking to them. Because in the end, it's where I ended up. I ended up tired again because I had wasted time doing something that wasn't a priority. For me, the word should have been my priority. The Bible was right next to my bed, and I decided to pick up the cell phone instead and see what my best friends were doing online. And that shouldn't have been my priority. And so I've asked some guys to bring something out. I want to show you guys a little illustration about priorities. I don't know where they're at. They're back there. Okay. And what this is it's a little example. Go ahead. It's an example to show you how to prioritize or the importance of prioritizing. Micah, where are you? Come hither. Oh, can you pull that? It's stuck. That'll be fine. Okay, we're going to handle this with care.
Cool.
All right. So the sand right here represents things we fill our day with. So if you start pouring, please. This is our Facebook. This is our hanging out with our friends. Next sand, please. You don't like this? TV, talking on the phone, going to school, travel time. So there's stuff we spend our time on. Now here's our priorities. Could you please put our priorities as deep down as possible into the sand? The goal is to fit it all into the container so that there's it all fits, because this container represents our day.
Yeah.
You can do it. So here's my homework. Here's my time with my family. Here's my time at football practice. Well, not me, cheerleader. How about that? Aw. Okay, so our priorities didn't quite fit into our day. Can you guys see? Got it? Priorities didn't quite fit in our day because I spent all this extra time doing other stuff. So now we're going to try to put our priorities first. So there's my homework. There's my time in the Word. There's my time with the family. What else are you doing with your day? Friends. Prayer.
Stuff.
Practice. Okay, now put all your extra activities, preferably in.
Yay!
It fits so much better, doesn't it? Thank you, Micah.
You're welcome.
You want to play in the sand now? Kind of heavy. So what does this represent? At first, we started off just doing regular activities. I really like this football. Sorry. Okay. We filled up our day with just fun things or things that really were kind of time wasters, and then we tried to pile on all of our priorities, our homework, our time with the Lord, and it didn't all quite fit in the bucket. But then when we reversed our priorities and started off with them in our day, doing our homework, letting it be the focal point of our day, and then added the other stuff in, it still all fit. So I didn't take out any of your free time. I didn't throw any extra sand off to the side and say, oops, sorry, you're not allowed to do this anymore. Well, yeah, there's on purpose anyway. But for the most part, it all fit back in here. Now, yes, there's a little sand that went over the side, but who needs 10 minutes on Facebook? You already had an hour. So you pretty much got it all taken care of here. So, amen. So in the first illustration, you can see why it's important to have priorities in the first place, because if you don't have them and you don't on purpose focus on them, they're not going to get accomplished. And then to top it off, if you're not even focusing on how those fit in your day, asking the Lord, when do I do this? How do I do this? At what time? In what order do I do this? If you just try to dump it all in, it's not all going to fit. But if you put your priorities in first and you identify what those are, and then you put in that extra activity throughout the day, it's all going to fit in the end. So you're not going to get punished like, oh, all these priorities, now I can't do anything fun. It fits in all the different spaces because you're focusing on the main thing. Have you ever heard and let the main thing be the main thing? That's the purpose of this, is the priorities. So, okay, now our series is called Boundaries. Where does that tie in? This showed the need for boundaries, because without this container, you wouldn't have something to hold your day. You have boundaries built into your day, whether you like it or not. You have 24 hours in a day. How many of you have said, I wish I had another hour? Another hour of sleep, another hour to study, another hour to hang out with my friends. But there's 24 hours, and that's the way the Lord built that system. And so that's our container here, is we have 24 hours. And then last week, you guys wrote up all these priorities on here: God, family, friends, school, sports, band, all these different things that are important to you, we wrote down on there. But yet we talked about how school takes a lot of your time, homework takes a lot of time, chores take a lot of your time. There's things that take your time that you don't necessarily want to do. And so this series on boundaries is going to teach you what's important in your life, how to focus on those things, and then how to accomplish them. Here's an example. Take a sports team. When you learn a new game, the first day of practice, there's some people who have never done track before, never done basketball before. The first day of practice, they don't start off on the playbook. They don't start going on full pads playing football. They start off learning the basics. They start off practicing conditioning. How many of you know of conditioning? You're like, why am I running wind sprints when I'm supposed to be carrying a football and throwing it? You're conditioning yourself. And so the first couple weeks even of practice, you are constantly working on the basics. You're not starting off with all the complicated plays, and you're not practicing with your pads or practicing without your pads. And so in the beginning, you focus on the boundaries. You focus on the rules. That way, when you are in the middle of the season, you're not having to stop in the middle of the field and think, okay, what was that rule again, and what am I not allowed to do? You know what you're doing. And so you no longer focus on those boundaries anymore as much as the goal. And that's why I liked this graphic, is there's this line, and it's pointing you somewhere. So when you have lines, and I'm on a football field, I'm not focused on don't step out of the bounds, don't step out of the bounds. Half the time, the plays are in the center of the field. The boundaries don't necessarily matter anymore. They're just guiding you towards your goal, and your goal is at the ends of the field. And so when we have these boundaries, it's not, I'm not going to stand up here for the next couple weeks and say, here are your do's and here are your don'ts, and you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. I'm going to show you what the Word says to guide your life towards a goal, and then you're going to focus less on those boundaries and more on the goal, because they're just part of you now. It just becomes what you know and what you believe. And so just like when you're starting off in a new game, you focus on what are my boundaries. You have to identify them. You have to know the rules to the game of football. But then once you've got it down, it's second nature to you, and you're not having to think, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that. You're focusing on the goal and the prize. And so that's the purpose of this series, is to get you focused on the goal, to get you focused on the prize, not so much about what's keeping you in bounds as much as what's driving you forward. Does that make sense? Yes, thank you, David. So in the same way with this game of boundaries, that's what we're going to talk about, is the boundaries in life. Where you're headed, where you focus on is where you're headed. How many of you have taken driver's ed? Some of you? How many are like, no, please don't make me. I remember in driver's ed, they'd say, keep your eye ahead. Don't look down at the wheel. Don't look directly in front of the car. Keep your eyes forward, because wherever your eyes are focused is where the car is going to go. And so the same with you. Wherever your attention is focused is where your actions and your words are going to take you. And so the boundaries that we're talking about are going to be a guide so that you can keep your focus on that prize, and they're going to guide you to that direction. Now, an example of this is kind of a personal property. When you have a home, there's a fence or there's a property line for the next house. And that fence determines the boundaries of that home. And what determines the boundaries of the home is the contract that was written up and the blueprints for the house and the property. And so you don't have to whip those out every day to determine where am I allowed to go on my property and who's on what side. You just know what those boundaries are. But those boundaries protect who's allowed in your space and what they can do in your space. Like when you have guests over versus a solicitor. There's some people you want around. There's some people you don't really want around. So when you have these boundaries, it determines what's important to you and what you allow into your life. And so when we talk about this series of boundaries, it's going to help you guys determine what is my priority, what's important to me, and where do I want to go with it. And so our focus is going to become less and less on these guidelines and these boundaries and more on what's your goal, what's your prize, how can we get there, and then how can we work with the different things that come up in our lives. You know, just when you make a goal, there's temptation that comes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Girls might understand this. You know, whenever I fast something, I'm going to fast dessert for a month. Do you know how many showers and parties come up in that month that are like cake and ice cream and cookies? And you're like, thanks, I'll eat a carrot. But that just when you make a priority is when there's going to be opposition. So just when you determine that you're going to get straight A's this year, Your friends are going to want you to go off and do X, Y, and Z all the time. Or your phone's going to be going off the hook. Like today, I'm trying to study, and my email's on my phone, my texting. Some people are calling about work. Others are, how are you? And so I had to determine, do I silence this thing? What do? I need to turn the noise down. And so that's what you're going to have to do, is determine, what are my goals? My goal was, I need to study for this, and this is priority. Put the phone away. I need to focus on the Lord right now. How many of you think it's rude when you're talking and someone comes up and just interrupts your conversation and starts talking with someone else? So, what do you think it looks like to the Lord when you're like having quiet time? Hold that thought. Oh my gosh, no way. Are you serious? Okay, I'm back now. Do not reading the word, and then you get, oh no, hold on, let me go ask my mom. Yeah, I can, totally. And you're off. You're gone. And it was like, wait a second. Now imagine if he was sitting right next to you and you're hanging out and you're like texting someone else. I can't stand it when I'm hanging out with someone and they're next to me on their cell phone texting all the time, constantly. Now I know we have people we want to communicate, and I get it, and I do it too. But do you know how rude it is to be with someone but to not be with someone? And so when we talk about our priorities in the Lord, he is a person. Jesus came to earth in flesh. So when you're ignoring him, or you're having your quiet time and then no way, a Facebook status update, and then you go off onto your Facebook and 30 minutes later it's time for school, you've just gotten off track again. And so the purpose of this is to help you identify those guidelines, identify those boundaries, and then that's what's going to drive you. That's what's going to keep you focused. And so tonight I'll talk a little bit about those guidelines and boundaries, and in the next week or so. But they're going to diminish more and more so that we focus on the other things. And so just like we're learning a new game, I'm kind of outlining it for you by explaining what those boundaries are. But that's not the focus of this series. And so I want to stress the importance of that. Is I know sometimes when people hear the word boundaries or guidelines or rules, they immediately think, she's going to tell me what I can't do. And this isn't about what Jen thinks. This isn't about my opinion. I'm just going to show you some things in the Word and let you guys determine what you believe. Because your boundaries are your personal property line. Your boundaries determine what you believe is truth. And the ultimate truth we can find in the scripture. And I'll go there in just a second. But I wanted to give you a definition of bound. Boundaries, bound. It's defined as something you're devoted or attached to, under a legal or moral obligation. So when you have a boundary, when you are bound by a contract or you're bound by an obligation, it is something you're devoted to or attached to. Think about what you're devoted to. What gets my attention? What am I attached to? What do I spend a lot of my time doing? And the next one is legal or moral obligation. What are your morals? What are your values? What are your core beliefs? When a politician runs for office, they have what's called a platform, and it's their core foundation of what they believe, what they stand for. And so each and every one of us have one, whether we have it written down, whether we have it memorized. Your actions and your words every day are determining what you already believe. And so through this series, I want to help you guys identify on purpose, what do I believe? Next week, I'm going to give you guys some different scenarios that it could go either way, and there may or may not be a right or answer, but it's determined on what you believe. And so I had some different examples when I went through high school of right and wrong situations, and I remember thinking I could go this way or I could go this way, and I had to count the cost of those. But it starts you thinking, what do I believe? I know when I turn on the news sometimes and there's this, you know, a court case or there's a new political debate, and I sit there thinking, I'm not sure, so sure I know which way I would stand on this. And so I have to determine, how am I going to believe? Well, to establish our personal beliefs, we need integrity. Personal integrity. What do I believe? And not only in my thoughts, but in my words, and do my actions follow up with it? And so what you believe shapes who you are. What you believe shapes what you do. And what you believe shapes what you say. And so to determine your boundaries, you have to determine what you believe. What is truth to you? And you might be thinking, well, the Bible, of course, like that's truth. But how often are we in a discussion, do we reference the Bible to see what it says? Or do we go, well, I think, well, I feel. And so what I hope through this is that you guys start to be more motivated to find out what's in here. What does this say? What does he believe? Because that's the ultimate truth. Turn to Psalms 33:4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." So the ultimate guide for everything that we do is found in the word. What we say will determine what we believe. So when it says the word of the Lord is right, this right here, what you guys are holding, what you're looking at, this is what's right. There's right and there's wrong. This is what's going to determine in your life what's right and wrong. And then it says, and his work is done in truth. So you hear about different scenarios. I don't know who to believe. Is this true or is this true? When you're trying to figure out what truth is, again, this is what truth is. And so when we're determining what our boundary is, what is that based on? Our belief system. And what's our belief system? It's the word of God. It's what he says. It's not just those red letters when he's talking, but it's everything in here because it's breathed through him, the Holy Spirit. Everyone who wrote these books were writing with the Holy Spirit through them. And so everything in here is a resource to us, just like when we talked about in football, how you have a playbook. This right here is our playbook. And I hear so many times, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. And if we would spend more time in here, we'd be able to determine, how should I act? What should I say? And when you hear about Pastor George, if I could say one thing I always hear him say is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so the more and more we spend in here, the more and more time we spend with him, when people see us, they've seen the Father. So we want them to look at us and to be a reflection of something good. And so the more we understand what truth is, that's what's going to drive us towards the goals that we're talking about. And that's what we focus on, not necessarily these boundaries or the book of law. This is the book of the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit, not by the law. Now, in the Old Testament, there was law because there wasn't the blood of Jesus to cover them. But we use that because it shows us guidelines. And it shows us reasons why they had those laws so that we can learn from it. Turn to Psalms 86:11. Yeah. It says, let's see, hold on. "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. With all of my heart, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. I will give glory to your name forever. For your love for me is very great, and you have rescued me from the depths of death." So when this first started out, it says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live in your truth." And so our lives should be a direct reflection of what his truth is. How I live should reflect what this says. And so that's the summarizing scripture of what we could, for this series, is we are learning God's ways so that we can live according to truth. And so there won't be those moments where you're in class. I remember being in public school and there'd be these debates and I'd sit there going, no, that's not right. But the whole class would be on board with them. I was in a government class in Washington when I was a senior in college, and I was going to ORU at the time, and I was allowed to take a class away for the summer. And so I thought, okay, which classes are left? Okay, I'll take government. Of all the classes I could take, I would have loved to take government at that conservative university in Oklahoma. But I took government in Washington, one of the more liberal states of America. Come to find out, my professor was a former lobbyist for Clinton during his campaigning days of his first administration. So I have this teacher who's teaching truth, what he says is truth, to all these students. And I remember coming to class with my ORU sweatshirt on. If you want like a flashing light that says conservative Christian, just wear ORU sweatshirt to a public liberal Washington college. And I remember sitting in class and I remember him going, "So what do you think?" And I was like, "Oh, please don't ask what I think." And I just remember standing up for something and having the whole class go, "Huh?" And then we'd have to have these discussion boards. And so we would go online. It was like chat rooms, but it was designed for the class. So you would have to post a statement, And then everyone else would have a chance to refute what you just said. So, of course, my statement would be what I believe. And all of their rebuttals would be what they believe. And so this chat room just turned into this discussion about what I believe and what they believe. And it was all based on, they seriously believed what they were saying was true. And I seriously believed what I was saying was true. And I remember going home, and I'm in college at this point, living with my parents in the summer. I remember going home, and I sat down with my mom, and I said, "Can we talk for a second?" She said, "Yeah." And I gave her, I'm like, "This is what he said today." And I remember talking for 2 hours. He said this, he said this, he said this, he said this. I said, everyone in the room agreed with him. I said, "Am I crazy? Because I don't agree with him." And she was like, "No, this is what we believe." So we went through the scriptures and affirmed different things that I believed. But I remember that time, and even at that age, I needed someone to talk it out with because there was so many people against me on what I believed. But I had to finally stand up for something, and I went back to class day after day after day, and I got on my chat room day after day after day and post what I believe, and I'd write my essays based on what I believe, knowing exactly what the teacher believed. He believed a lot of things that I would flat out call a lie, and I did that in class one day. Ask me how that went.
How did that go?
No, but my point in this is that when you have a strong belief system, you have to have it backed up with something because you have to be able to stand up for it. And so when we talk about this ultimate truth, show me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. And so you're going to have opportunities where people are going to debate you. You're going to have opportunities where you say, "I don't agree with you." And there's going to be times where those are people you love. And so that's what we're going to talk about, different types of boundaries. There's going to be boundaries you have to have with family and friends. There's going to be boundaries you're going to have in some of your relationships. There's going to be boundaries you have to have socially and in class when you just want to scream and be like, "You're a liar." And when I say I told him I didn't agree, I didn't necessarily just stand up and shout things like that. But it was very clear that I disagreed. But there's different ways to carry yourself so that still reflects my father. It still reflects positively so that people don't go, "Oh, there's the girl in the ORU shirt. I don't want to serve her God. He's angry." Right? Because it gives a perception. How I'm acting is going to determine what they think of my God. And so it's important for us to know what we believe, but not just know what we believe, how to articulate it, how to tell people about it, how to act it out so that it's something that's attractive. Turn with me to Psalms 119:60. Big chapter. Verse 160. "The very essence of your words is truth, and your just regulations will stand forever." So right here it's saying that these words, again, are truth, and that they will stand forever. I made a joke a while ago about how I'd write all these essays in college, and I was going through my boxes the other day, and I just threw them away. I'm like, why did I keep this? And I think, when the teacher read it, she probably didn't keep it. There probably still aren't people reading it in their classrooms, unless I wrote something absolutely amazing that I don't remember. And so those words did not stand forever. But we have something that's been around for 2,000 years. This thing has stood. People have tried to burn this thing. They couldn't get rid of it. And so this stands forever. This is something to stand on. This is something for a foundation. And one thing that I've found very interesting today is I was going through here, and I remembered the Ten Commandments. And I thought, we don't talk about those very often. They try to take them down in the schools. The more times you hear about the Ten Commandments is that we shouldn't reference them and that they shouldn't be posted and they shouldn't be public. And that's when you hear about the Ten Commandments. You don't hear about what they really stand for or why they were put into place. The Ten Commandments are God's instruction to his people. They were given to Israel so that they would have a guideline to live their life. And it's actually a guideline to interact with people of how they should live and how they should love one another. Don't kill. Don't steal. Those aren't selfish things. Those are to watch out for the people around you. And so when we talk about the Ten Commandments, is there anyone in here who could list all 10, like off the top of your head? One person? Two? Three, four? Five? A few maybes? So we have five people who think they might know the Ten Commandments. Six. Seven, eight. Okay, good. This is better. But point being, is that when it's on the news and they talk about tearing them down and you go, no, that is wrong. You shouldn't take my Ten Commandments away. But you guys don't even know what they are. Am I right? I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just trying to just get somewhere. So when we have these guidelines and these principles and these boundaries in our lives and we stand up for them, but then my atheist friend in math class says, okay, so what are the Ten Commandments? And I'm like, thou shalt not lie, steal, covet, hold on one second, Bible app. That doesn't really show them or make them want to walk where you walk because you don't have a confidence in what you believe. So I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments to you guys. Woo! Now, why am I doing this? Because this is a basic principle way back into the Old Testament, but yet it's something we defend so strongly these days, but no one in here except for maybe 6 or 7 people could probably quote them to me or even tell me what chapter or verse in the Bible they came from. But this should be a core, something that we know, that we can stand by. This is something that anybody should be able to live by. Do not kill, do not destroy. It is part of our Constitution. You know, you'll go to prison for murdering. So you don't even have to be a Christian to believe this thing. But it's something that if we were to adopt into our Constitution, adopt into our society, think how much better things would operate. Think about how much smoother things would run. So this is a basic boundary and a basic principle that I wanted to share tonight. And this isn't all about what the series is, but I wanted to give you an example that there's some things in here that someone on the news would just say, you know, the Ten Commandments, and they use the word flippantly, but yet we need to be able to stand up for what we're standing up for. And so turn with me to Exodus 20. Woo! Woo! The first one, do not worship any other gods beside me. So God's supposed to be number one in our life. That's verse 3. Number 2, do not make idols of any kind. Example, Exodus 20, verse 4. They used to have tons of idols in the Old Testament. Idols are something that takes all of your attention, something you worship, something you focus on. It doesn't necessarily have to be a gold shrine. It could be Justin Bieber. Just saying. Don't want to step on any toes here. But idols can be whatever you focus your attention to. When we read the Old Testament, we think, oh, idols, I don't have any gold shrines or Buddhas in my bedroom. I'm good. I'm golden. We're safe. No, but there are things that take your attention and your focus. There is all this sand that fills up your day when the priorities were sticking on the top, not quite fitting in. Number 3, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Exodus 20, verse 7. Oh my God, how often do you hear that? Or you hear someone say Jesus, and it's not pleading the blood. These are some core things where it's like, oh my gosh. Okay, where do you think that came from? I'm not going to go into all the details and be like, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this. But think about what you say and where it's coming from or what it really means. It's a number 3 in the Ten Commandments is do not use the Lord your God's name in vain. But so many times we use it as just a filler word or to make a funny statement about something. But it's something that's precious to us and that we should honor and we should respect. Number 4, remember to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 8. I remember growing up, there's all these things that people would do on Sunday, and my parents called it the family day. It's the day where we spend time as a family. We go to church. We don't do our chores on Sunday. We do them on Saturday. And that was just the day that the family made as our Sabbath, as our resting day, as our focus on the Lord. But so many times we fill our days up with things and forget that we're supposed to keep the Sabbath holy. God created things in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. He did all of these things, but he took time to rest. So how much more should we take time to rest? So when you come to me and say, Jen, I'm tired, Jen, I'm burnt out, Jen, I'm having a hard time, are you resting? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you spending time with him? These are some foundational things that we read and we just think are, oh, that's Old Testament. But these are things that were meant to help guide you, to put place a boundary in your life to help you get towards your goal. And rest is one of those. It's very important. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20, verse 2. That's not just something we say a lot, you know, because parents want their kids to honor them. It's so that it will go well with you. It's a core, foundational belief of this relationship that we have with him, is to honor our mom and our dad. Number 6, do not murder. That's verse 13 in Exodus 20. Now, that's kind of a given. I don't think anyone in here has murdered anyone. You've had anger, but did you know that in the New Testament it talks about anger in the heart is just the same as killing someone? So it's just as important that we guard our heart in these things. And we don't just think, oh, I didn't kill anyone today. But what did your word... but really, come back. Just thinking that you, okay, I'm good there. But what are your actions and words doing? Is it hurting someone? Is it bringing someone down? Or is it building them back up? Number 8, do not steal. Number 9, do not testify falsely against your neighbor, lying. 7, do not commit adultery. Thank you, good one. We'll go into that another time. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor, a.k.a. don't lie. How many have heard, it's just a little lie, just a little white lie. I was just joking. I didn't mean it. We say that so often, but then why would you say it if you have to come back and say, just joking, just messing around, just teasing? But you said it out of the mouth, so he believes. So what do you really believe? Did you really mean it? You wouldn't have said it. And so your words are just as important. And so a lot of these things that we teach about now stem directly from this. Number 10, do not covet. You're like, covet? Do not want what isn't yours. Do not focus on something that isn't yours. Putting all of your attention on something that you shouldn't have your attention on. And that's the Ten Commandments. And we could go into each one of those, could be a whole series on itself. But those are some core foundational boundaries that you have set in place that we fight so hard for. And so this week, I want to challenge you. If you don't already know, if you didn't raise your hand to tell me you knew the Ten Commandments, learn the Ten Commandments. Know what they are. Know what you stand for. So the next time when it's on the news or it's debated in your classroom, in government class, about whether or not we should have church of state, or if we should have the commandments posted in our lunchroom, or if we should be able to even pray in our classroom, know what you're standing up for. So you could stand up and they could say, okay, then what are they? And you could stand up and say, this is what they are, and this is what I live by. And then that'll give you a different perspective of the people around you. And they'll look at you differently when you can confidently say not only this is what I believe, but back it up with the truth. Back it up with the knowledge that you do know what you're talking about. And so boundaries are important because they keep you in line. These things keep you in line. Like Wesley had said, they keep you focused, not distracted. An example would be playing a board game. How many of you like games? I'm a game girl. I like games. Now, what I don't like is the first time I've played a game, because I have to read the instructions, and then I have to go back and reread the instructions again and again and again. You get to the next play. Oh, wait, I don't really know how to do this. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so the first game isn't as fun because you're constantly referencing the rules. You're constantly referencing the instructions. And then the next time you play, it gets a little better. You remember a few of the guidelines, a few of the suggestions of how to play, but you're still kind of referencing the rules. But then when you play over and over and over and over again, you don't have to reference the rules anymore. Then you're saying, this is my favorite game, you should play. And they're like, I don't know how. And you're like, I don't need to read the rules, I'll explain it to you. And so this is exactly where I'm trying to get with this series, is that the boundaries and the guidelines, what this has to say, becomes so much part of you. The word became flesh in him, that it becomes flesh in you, that when things come up in your life and people around you are going, I don't know where I believe, I don't know where I stand in that, you can say, I do. I know what this says. And you may have to pull it out for a second. You might have to look in the back at the concordance and look up, what do I believe about that? But then after a few times, the next time someone says it, you're like, Matthew, and you go off and list the verse, states this, and this is what I believe. And so it's not going to become this rule or this guideline anymore as much as just part of you. It's your core beliefs. It's your core values. So I don't expect you to memorize this whole Bible. I'm not going to have quizzes each week and be like, who memorized Psalms 119? Yeah, exactly. I don't expect you to memorize things. But what I do expect is that this challenges you to become more and more familiar with it, to become more and more familiar with Him, so that when you do have these challenges arise and when you do have controversial subjects thrown at you, you can stand up confidently and say what you believe. And you can bring other people alongside you, that people can follow you confidently because you're headed somewhere that's true. You're headed somewhere that's right. And so in this series, we're going to discover what God's word says about different things. And so a few of the different topics will be your individual boundaries. How many of you know you don't need someone else to distract you? You can get distracted all by yourself. Just like I said last night, I'm on my phone, and then I realize 45 minutes has gone by, and I just wasted sleep or time in the Word. Now, I'm not saying there's not time to get on Facebook and message your friends and post pictures and have fun with it, but that should happen after I get my priorities taken care of. And so we'll talk about individual things. What do you believe in certain subjects? What is your core beliefs? So that it's not something you just go day by day trying to figure out, but it's something you take serious so that you're someone people can follow. We'll also talk about family boundaries. We all have siblings. We all have parents. We all have extended family. Christmas comes every year, and some people are really excited to have family over, and some people aren't so excited to have family over. And so there's boundaries that you're going to have with your parents, with your friends. So we'll talk about relationships and social boundaries. And so this isn't going to be about the do's and don'ts of this. We're going to be discovering what God's word says about what our priorities are, how to walk them out, and then how to interact with the people around us, how to protect that like the fence. This is my home. This is my temple. This is my boundary. And so you selectively determine what you let in and out, what you let in your ears, what you let in your eyes, what you let in your space, what you let your time be spent on. And so that's really what we'll be focusing on is you. What's important to you? How can you get where you're going? And how can you do it by maintaining the relationships around you? You don't just shut everyone out and be like, straight A's, can't talk to you till June. There's ways to let people know what you believe and what your focus is, but still have them in your life. And there's a way to have people in your life that don't necessarily agree or believe what you believe, but walk them through it too. Because there's going to be people who don't know what they believe, and that doesn't mean you cut them off. Oh, well, you don't agree with me. We're done. I did that in high school, and I look back and I think, I wish I still had that friend. I think I really could have helped her. She probably could have helped me in some things. I had a friend, she was Catholic and very liberal. I was Assemblies of God and very conservative. And we were best friends in 9th grade, in 10th grade, in 11th grade. And we knew we didn't agree on some things, but the foundation was true. We believed that Jesus was our Savior. We believed in some foundational things, but I let those differences get to me where it just annoyed me so much that she didn't agree with me that we grew apart. And now I look back and I think, I wish I wouldn't have just cut people out because they didn't agree with me. I wish I would have kept them close enough where we could walk life together, where I could help her with some things. You know, I found out a couple last year, her mom passed away from cancer. And when I was in 8th grade and we were best friends back then, her mom had cancer then. And she went into remission and did healthier, got better. And then I find out, you know, through Facebook what happened. And so I contacted her again. And you know what? Those things that we disagreed on, they didn't matter anymore. I just wanted to support her and care about her. And now we want to talk and we want to catch up and find out what's going on in each other's lives. That was 10 years ago. But it's still a relationship that I had. And it's like we pick back up where we left off if I was to call her. And so don't necessarily let these boundaries be things that you cut people out of your life with. Let it be something that defines who you are. But it also is going to help you interact with other people. And I wish I would have learned some of these things when I was younger. I wish I would have known how to interact with people who don't agree with me, how to stand up for what I believe confidently, because it would change some of the things that happened. And I'm not saying I have regrets about those things. I'm still in contact with that girl. But I encourage you guys, when we go through this series, don't look at it as rules and guidelines and boundaries as something that's going to define you in a negative way. Look at it something that, like a football field. This is your playing field. It's pointing you towards the goal line. And when you're in the middle of the game, you're not thinking about the boundaries. You're just thinking about getting the ball down the field. And so that's what we're going to do in this series, is we're not going to focus on these boundaries as much as how do we play this game called life, and how do we get down the field to our goal, just like it says, get in the zone. How do you get into the end zone? How do you get the win? And so that's what this focus is going to be about. So for next week, yes, I'm giving homework. I want you guys to know your Ten Commandments. Yes, Jen.
Yes.
Pastor Kim taught me, with obedience comes the blessing. So all I'm going to say with that is, with obedience comes the blessing. And so I encourage you, spend time in the Word this week. Not just looking up a scripture that's your favorite that makes you feel warm and fuzzy and, you know, you're having a problem and so you're trying to get some encouragement. That's good. Do that. Do what you need to do to get through the week. But spend some time finding out some things you don't know about the Word. Finding out some things that you're not sure what you believe on. It just takes 5 minutes watching the news to find out what's controversial. And then it just takes another 10 minutes of your time to find out what you believe about what's controversial. And so spend some time this week. Watch the news for 5 minutes. I guarantee you'll see a story on there about something that you don't agree with. And then when you sit there and say, I don't agree with that, think why. And if you can't come up with the scripture, if you can't come up with a foundational truth about why, get in here so that you have something to back it up with. You guys listening?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So next week we'll talk more about the boundaries, but I wanted to give you guys kind of an overarching overview about where we're going with this so you can think about your priorities. The three of you that did raise your hand, I hope there's 30 of you next week that raise your hand that say, here's, I'm not asking for a list. Just take three things. What are my priorities this school year? What am I focused on? And that's going to help shape what becomes important to you so that you can determine what your boundaries are. Amen? Amen.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.